In 2006, Ford Motor Company was dying. The iconic American automaker was hemorrhaging billions, market share was plummeting, and bankruptcy loomed on the horizon. The company that revolutionized manufacturing with the Model T had become a dysfunctional mess of warring fiefdoms and entrenched bureaucracy. Into this desperate situation stepped Alan Mulalla, an aerospace executive with zero automotive experience but a reputation for transformation at Boeing. What followed was one of the most remarkable corporate turnarounds in business history. While competitors, General Motors and Chrysler, would soon accept government bailouts, Ford charted a different path. The company mortgaged everything, including its famous blue oval logo, to secure $23.6 billion in financing just before credit markets froze. This desperate gamble, combined with Mulalla's leadership revolution, allowed Ford to weather the storm independently. Ford's troubles didn't develop overnight. The company had followed a troubling pattern throughout its history: periods of brilliant innovation, followed by complacency and decline. Henry Ford revolutionized manufacturing with the Model T and assembly line, but then stubbornly refused to update his creation even as consumer preferences evolved. This cycle repeated with the Taurus sedan in the 1980s, a revolutionary design that became America's best-selling car, only to lose its edge when Ford failed to significantly update it while Japanese competitors continuously improved. The company's DNA carried another problematic trait: Henry Ford's autocratic leadership style. He refused to delegate authority and created a toxic corporate culture, prioritizing blind obedience over innovation. This approach became embedded in Ford's culture, creating organizational silos where executives protected their territories rather than collaborating. Bill Ford Jr., Henry Ford's great-grandson, balanced family legacy with personal merit, working diligently to prove himself beyond his name. By the late 1990s, he became chairman in a divided leadership structure, sharing power with CEO Jack Nasser, reflecting the board's concerns about his experience. Nasser, known as Jack the Knife, pursued aggressive diversification, acquiring luxury brands and non-automotive businesses. This strategy distracted from Ford's core operations and created tension with dealers and employees. The 2000 Firestone tire crisis involving Ford Explorer rollovers further damaged the company under Nasser's leadership. In 2001, Bill Ford, with board backing, replaced Nasser as CEO and launched a back-to-basics campaign. However, facing mounting losses and cultural resistance, he acknowledged his limitations and began seeking external leadership, demonstrating unusual humility for a family business heir by prioritizing the company's survival over personal pride. Alan Mulally, rising from modest Kansas roots, transformed Boeing's commercial aircraft division through engineering expertise and exceptional leadership. His collaborative approach was exemplified during the Boeing 777 development, where he broke down organizational silos and implemented weekly business plan review meetings using color-coded progress charts. When 9/11 devastated the airline industry, Mulally successfully guided Boeing's commercial division through the crisis, catching Bill Ford's attention. At Ford, Mulally's transformative impact became clear during a pivotal business plan review meeting. When Mark Fields honestly reported problems with the Edge SUV launch, Mulally applauded his transparency and immediately sought solutions, asking, "Who can help Mark with this?" This moment marked a cultural shift at Ford. Soon, executives replaced misleading positive reports with honest assessments, surfacing long-hidden problems and enabling collaborative problem-solving. Mulally's approach created an environment where transparency and teamwork replaced fear and denial. Mulally addressed Ford's fragmented structure, where regional companies operated independently with duplicate operations, leading to inefficiencies and missed economies of scale. The One Ford plan unified the company globally while focusing on core brands. Instead of market-specific vehicles, Ford would create world cars with minor regional adaptations. Mullally divested luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, and Volvo to concentrate on the Ford brand. The Ford Fiesta exemplified this strategy, designed as a global car with 60 to 70% common parts worldwide, reducing costs while improving quality and speed to market. When executives resisted by trying to bypass Mullally through Bill Ford, they found no support, signaling the end of regional fiefdoms. Mullally cascaded this unified vision throughout Ford, introducing a pocket-sized blue card stating the company's mission and expected behaviors. His personal modeling of these behaviors helped the initiative gain genuine traction among employees. In a bold move, Mullally and Bill Ford mortgaged nearly all of Ford's domestic assets, including the iconic blue oval logo, to secure $23.6 billion in financing. This decision, though desperate, proved prescient as it created a crucial buffer for the company's transformation and against future economic challenges. When the 2008 financial crisis hit, this financial cushion became Ford's lifeline. While competitors General Motors and Chrysler depleted their reserves amid frozen credit markets and plunging auto sales, Ford maintained liquidity despite burning through $7.7 billion in one quarter. Internal debates intensified during this period, with CFO Don LeClair advocating extreme cost-cutting measures, including selling Mazda stakes and reducing F-Series investment, while others fought to protect Ford's future competitiveness. In late 2008, while GM and Chrysler faced collapse, Ford's earlier financing provided a slightly better position. The company faced a critical choice between seeking government bailouts or maintaining independence. Mullally and his team saw encouraging signs: stable market share, successful products, and effective cost-cutting. Marketing chief Jim Farley recognized the advantage of being the only American automaker free from government control. The decision was risky, without a safety net if conditions worsened. While board members worried about fiduciary duties, Bill Ford supported independence despite risking family control. Ford handled the crisis differently from competitors. After an initial misstep, arriving at congressional hearings in corporate jets, Mullally adjusted, driving a Ford hybrid to subsequent meetings and requesting government funds only as a last resort. When Congress approved bailouts in December 2008, Ford declined. This decision enhanced Ford's public image, as consumers respected its self-reliance while competitors faced government-managed bankruptcies. Ford capitalized on this through strategic advertising, gaining market share as GM and Chrysler struggled with bailout stigma. The impact of Mullally's leadership became evident in quality improvements. Previously, quality had been measured differently in each market, making global improvement impossible. With common metrics established, defects decreased and customer satisfaction scores rose. Ford's transformation wasn't just about clever financial engineering or cutting costs. It was about fundamentally changing how thousands of people work together. The company's journey from near death to profitability offers powerful lessons about leadership, organizational culture, and resilience that apply far beyond the automotive industry. When Jeff Bezos distributed copies to his executive team at Amazon, he recognized that Ford's revival contained universal principles for any organization facing existential challenges. Mullally's genius was recognizing that without psychological safety, the ability to speak truth without fear, no strategic plan could succeed. His leadership style, a disarming combination of enthusiasm, curiosity, and determination, created an environment where problems could be identified and solved collaboratively. Sometimes the hardest decision is to refuse help that comes with strings attached. Ford's choice for independence accelerated implementation of the One Ford plan and fostered a culture of self-determination that continues to influence the company today.